Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery with Dr. Jane Marquis, ND, the podcast that delves into the fascinating world of personal transformation, holistic well-being, and the power of the human mind. In today's episode, we have a truly exceptional guest, Dr. Grant Crooley, who is at the forefront of utilizing cutting-edge quantum physics to help individuals uncover and eliminate cognitive dissonance lurking in their subconscious mind. Dr. Crooley will enlighten us on why this process is pivotal, as it directly impacts our resonance, the vibrational frequency that underlies our interactions, experiences, and even our health. As we explore Dr. Crooley's innovative approach, we'll uncover how our perception shapes our personal frequency and ultimately how resonance shapes our world. So if you've ever wondered how to change your life for the better, join us on this enlightening journey, because as we'll discover together, changing our frequency truly means changing our world. Get ready for an eye-opening episode that might just transform the way you view your reality. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, Dr. G.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here, Jane.
Excited to have you. So let's jump right in. I wanted to jump into what is the law of resonance and why it's so important.
Okie doke. Well, the law of resonance is important because it runs the whole universe. The easiest way for me to explain the law of resonance, I always use tuning forks. So if you in the audience, if you know what a tuning fork is, it's just like a little bar, and then you hold the one end, and then it divides and makes the shape of a U. When you hit the tuning fork, it will vibrate, and every tuning fork has its own particular vibration, its own frequency, and it'll make a sound, humming sound. To use an analogy, let's say the universe, or let's instead of the universe, let's just take the whole world. The Mother Earth. I want you to imagine Mother Earth as an analogy is this gigantic warehouse. It's gigantic. Many, 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 many stories high, and it goes for miles, and it's filled with rooms, rooms and rooms and rooms. And in every room, on every level, everywhere, on the floor, the walls, and the ceiling, are tuning forks, big ones, tuning forks the size of a car and the size of your fingernail, and they're just all millions of them everywhere. And there's one door, and you're going to walk in that door, and you have a specific tuning fork with you. And we'll say that tuning fork represents your overall frequency. So you walk in the front door of this gigantic place, and you close the door, and then you hit your tuning fork. And it starts buzzing. And although that place is so big with walls and different levels and floors and all kinds of things, any tuning fork in that gigantic complex, which is Mother Earth, that has the same frequency as yours, will immediately become activated and start to buzz. And every other tuning fork in that place that does not have the exact same frequency will do nothing, nothing at all. So the frequency, your frequency, finds all the other tuning forks with the same frequency. That's called resonance. It's a resonant frequency. They activate together. They buzz together. So if your tuning fork is a bad, angry, hateful frequency, That's the ones that are going to get activated and want to find you and become attracted to you. The ones that are activated, that are humming with your frequency, that's your world. That's your friends, your money, your health, your abundance or your lack thereof. That's your world. Your world comes to you through resonance. That's how that works. If your little tuning fork is real happy and full of love and joy and strength and courage and all the nice things, that's the tuning forks that start to activate. And that's your world. So that's the whole universe runs on that at all times. So it's never off. The trick is the intensity, the duration of the frequency, what you are putting out. So if your fundamental frequency is, say, lack consciousness, what that means is you're always noticing what you don't have, what you can't do, what you can't afford, what's not there. And that's your perception. Your perception makes your frequency. So the first law, the two laws as far as human life go that you need to understand are perception and resonance. Perception makes the frequency. The frequency gives you your world, gives you your reality. And it runs just by you'll hear in my kind of work, dealing with entities. How does an entity ever find somebody? Just by resonance. They'll either find them or they don't find them. Wealth, nice friends, a lover. If you were sexually abused when you were a kid, that frequency is inside your overall field. So as you get older and you're out in the adult world, those are the kind of people with the same kind of frequency that's resonant with abuse or dysfunction or hurt, pain, anger, violence. Those people depends, you know, the frequency. It'll attune right to you. And that's the only kind of guy you're going to meet or the kind of lady you're going to meet.
Right.
So when you change your frequency, you change your world. That's what I do in my work. I change their perception. That gives them a new frequency. Then they get a new world.
Yes.
Makes sense?
Makes so much sense to me. Because as a homeopath, we're trying to find the dissonance that exists within someone and then match it to a remedy that has the same resonance, and then two cancel each other out. And if it's not the right resonance, then nothing happens.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so similar. I love it.
All right, homeopathy is phenomenal. The great master doctor that taught me the base of my craft, he's also a master homeopathist. It's all quantum science. It's all the same world.
It is. And I think we're moving into that knowledge. I think it was ahead of its time. And what you're doing is similar.
It's similar, yes.
When someone's sick, you talk about removing cognitive dissonance, which is that part of them that's just not vibrating at the place where they want to attract or what they want to attract.
Well, that's a little bit oversimplified. If they're sick, it won't necessarily be a cognitive dissonance. It can be like for instance, I got rid of severe Lyme's disease in a client of mine that had been suffering for over 30 years and it was unresponsive. So she was like really disabled. And so that's a little virus and it has a frequency. And I exterminate its frequency, which means I exterminate it and it's gone. So that's not a cognitive dissonance.
Right.
When I think of cognitive dissonance, and for the listeners, that means you go to school, you get an MBA, and you're the top of the class, and you did all the seminars. You got an entire blueprint for an entrepreneurial project, and you set out on it. And you know, you got everything, and you figured it all out, and you absolutely have zero success, and you never will. Why? Because when you were 1 year old, mom and dad said something or did something, it was absorbed by your subconscious. And it says, basically, there isn't any way on earth you're ever going to be able to do that, period. So it has, in terms of ratios, the subconscious has a minimum of 1 million times more power than the conscious brain. The MBA is in the conscious brain, and it's as weak as water. The only way it's going to work is if the subconscious either has no contrary programming, or at the very best is if the subconscious and its programs endorses the idea in the frontal cortex. Then you just sail through all your plans. But otherwise, no cigar. I know, because it happened to me for over 30 years. And you'll never beat cognitive dissonance unless you shut it off.
So the subconscious mind is very powerful and mostly programmed in our early
childhood. Yeah. By the time the frontal cortex kicks in, you have, if you do the numbers, at 40 million bits of information per second, 24/7, you have approximately 10 quadrillion bits of information as your fundamental database. And none of that belongs to you. None of it. So it's as using the computer model, because basically we're biocomputers. That's the database. And then as the frontal cortex is activated at the age of 7 and starts to do whatever it's going to do and experience whatever it's going to experience, it's running everything through the database. Just like when you get on your computer and you want to do a Google search, you're using the frontal cortex is the keyboard, and then the Google cloud is the subconscious mind, which is a morphic field containing all of the information and data encoded in photons of light. And then your computer, it's a feed forward, feed backward system. So you type in your question, and it scans, connects to the cloud and scans the answer. And then the answer comes back. That's exactly how we live. So that subconscious database, like the king, and then how you interpret what you learn or experience and the value you give it is all based through that first 6 years. That's why it's so tricky. So when you, so with depth healing, what I did was, it's a system that can alter all of that. And if I can alter that, then we get a completely different result, whether it's physiology or whether it's relationships or wealth, whatever it is. We gotta find out what is the programming or the imprints. Where are the hurts or the fears? And what I do is I can surgically locate exactly at what age, at what time they downloaded that. And I remove those. I exterminate them. When I exterminate them, their brain will reorganize. Their entire field reorganizes. And I'm able to do it with using a frequency in real time. So it happens immediately. That's the gift that this particular, he founded bioenergetic synchronization technique. So that's the fundamental base. And then the rest of the stuff that I've developed and I keep developing, that's all channeled from the divine.
Right. I think many great things are channeled from the divine. And it's when we're in resonance that we actually receive that information. I think Hahnemann.
That's right.
It like that.
Yep. Absolutely. It really is like that. That's exactly correct. It's all downloads and channels, channeling.
Yeah, because when you're in resonance, you're more connected to the unified field, which has all of this information.
That's right. Just a trailer on that. When they connect to the unified field, they will connect. When she says resonance, folks, it means the level of consciousness of the person. When they connect to the unified field, you can connect at the basement level, or you might be able to connect at the 80 stories up. That all depends. Most people who think they're mystics are no more mystics than I'm the tooth fairy. But if you see a real mystic, they're connecting with the unified field maybe on 200 stories up. Someone like me, I might be second floor, something like that. There's a lot of floors. That's why the quantum healers area is very gray, because it depends on their individual inner development and who they're talking to and what they're talking to regarding the divine, the light, the universal intelligence. There's so much that's involved. That's why it took me 53 years of study to do what I, in my case.
And intent, right?
Yeah. intent. Yeah. Without intent, nothing.
Yeah. And a pure heart. Now, you mentioned physiology, and of course, being a naturopathic doctor, I always try to teach people that if this dissonance still exists within them, it creates a problem in our physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for sure. Eventually we get sick. Describe that from your point of view.
When I was 27, so I'm a Marshall specialist, first and foremost, folks. I carry three samurai lineages on my shoulders. I study under all these great masters. And by the time I was 27, I was filled from all of my wounds when I was a little boy with severe anger. And the anger was so great in me, in my physiology, even though I was in almost Olympian shape. At the age of 27, I walked into the weight room at the University of Windsor, pushed a big weight, and my back broke right in half at L5. Both pedicles broke right in half. And that slowed me down for 3 years. I healed it with just with meditation alone and chiropractic. No back brace, no surgery. But nevertheless, the amount of anger, that huge energy, because the dissonance part is I was becoming accomplished in so many things, but my parents didn't give a damn. Nobody saw me. There was no acknowledgement of me on any level by anybody under any circumstance. So I was really angry. Now, later on, I healed all that and went on to teach the military, and I did so many different things, right? Meanwhile, I never, ever, until I got out of America and learned about cognitive dissonance. Now, I learned about cognitive dissonance, folks, way up in my late 40s. And I would do all these big business seminars, and Tony Robbins and John Assaraf and Brendan Burchard, Bob Proctor. I know all that stuff cold. I never could make a dime, irregardless of any kind of personal expertise or whatever. Even when I became a doctor, when I graduated as a doc many years later, 2006, never could make a dime. And I never knew why till I met Dr. Habersky. It was all cognitive dissonance and programming that I had received for many, 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 at least 27 years. Well, anyway, after I graduated as a doc, I was still full of rage, like literal rage over everything. I didn't understand nothing. And I developed breast cancer. And they cut it out of me. It was a little ball in my right chest. It had always been there, like a little, since I was a child. And then through epigenetics, with the amount of rage in me, that transformed that little pocket of fat to a slow-growing estrogen cancer. And same thing, I healed completely. I just cut it out of me, no chemo, no drugs. And that was the final straw as far as anger goes. And the anger, I was seeing Dr. Haberski, and he was clearing me for cognitive dissonance. And then I started receiving Diksha from the Divine in 2013. Diksha is the real game changer. That's a transfer directly from the Divine. And that's what melted all of the anger in me and removed all of the triggers. So right now, as the man I am now, I'm as different of a person as you could ever imagine. But it was a combination of the quantum science with Dr. Haberski and the Divine. Without the Divine, I would not. That's why depth healing is a marriage of the Divine with the quantum science. All my clients receive my surgery, and they receive Diksha. That's why the results are so profound.
Beautiful. You know, we think we are these programs when we're really not. We are divine beings. And once yes. we're free from them, then we can truly flourish and thrive, yeah. right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful story.
You should see my life now, Jane. Like, when I think back to how I used to live and the stress and the worry and just nonstop. And now I mean, my life now here is like something like Alice in Wonderland. And it's all by grace. It's just a wonderful, wonderful life.
I've always believed if we can just get rid of this dissonance or the programs, then we can truly connect to something much greater.
Yeah. Once you enter grace and you're out of the way so that the grace can come, that's my objective for my clients. If they just get into the stream of grace, like I am, life is easy. Everything is, it's just all automatic. The trick is the mind is in the way. It blocks everything, and you cannot remove mind. That's you have to let the Divine handle that end of things. I have over 50,000 hours of professional Zen training, and it never stopped. The mind is a field. It's million by billion million years old. And it's always going to be there, and nothing's going to change that. What has to happen is the human brain changes. When you see an enlightened person, example for a true enlightened person is Eckhart Tolle. So what happens with him is the Divine altered his brain. It altered his brain the night he was going to commit suicide, and he started to pass out. And as he passed out, he heard the voice say, quote, resist nothing, unquote. He passes out. When he wakes up the next morning, he is an altered man for the rest of his life. In his case, unfortunately, it took him 10 years to finally understand what had happened. But what they do is they alter the brain. When they do that, the inner dialogue stops. An enlightened person, the only commonality we can give, because everyone's enlightenment's different, is that the inner dialogue is stopped. The thinking will only occur for someone like Tolle when it is required. If it's not required, they only experience sacred silence, sacred stillness, and sacred bliss. And that's because the actual authentic self that you're referring to, which is just light, and we are existence, consciousness, and we're bliss. Then if they need to think to operate in the regular world, thinking occurs very clearly. As soon as it's not required, they go back into the silence. So they live in a state of peace and love, And that's all they experience all the time. From that state, they're in a state of being. We're in a state of doing. They're in a state of being.
Yeah, and I think we're heading into a time when consciousness will raise, and this is a possibility for many more than previously, I'm hoping.
I hope so, honey.
Yeah.
I hope so. The Kali Yuga ends next year, 2024. I hope so.
So when that ends, there's an opportunity for a different age. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you can say it that way, yes.
It's interesting that you speak of resistance. It seems to be a human state. And resistance stops us from even seeing what's in the unconsciousness that, or the subconscious that's stopping us from moving forward or healing. And yeah. I've often pondered, it's the state we are in as humans at this time, isn't it?
Yeah. My mind, in order for mind to exist in us, so the mind or thinking, you know, when, if anyone in the audience or your audience, if they've ever meditated, everyone in all cultures will say, in the meditation, teacher says, sit and be quiet and watch the thoughts come and go. Just let them come and go. Why do they say that? Because that's exactly all it is. They come in at, between your eyes, and they leave out the back of your head. And they're going to keep moving, and they've been moving for millions and maybe billions of years, and nothing's ever going to change that. All of the information and all the thinking, everything, it's all there. And our brain is an antenna system, and it's attuned to, by resonance to particular frequencies. And that has to do with the past lives that were drawn in when we were conceived, the genetic inheritance that goes back six generations on mom and dad's side, then all of the subconscious programming to the age of seven, then from seven to the age we are now. And it depends on the solar system, then the galaxy, then the universal intelligence. Finally, the last one is the other realms that you can think of as like the heavens. So all this stuff is there. And one of those things of the stuff is this big giant minefield. The thoughts will come in and out of you depending on your frequency and all those different things. There's just so much. It's huge. So for the mind to keep up in you, it's gotta have a self. It makes the self, and the self is an illusion, but it's a powerful illusion. And the way the culture, society has developed, it's all based in mind. So the idea that self is an illusion, and that our actual essence is just light and love, nothing supports that. The mind is in the way of everything. So like, let's say I look out the window here and I see the trees and the clouds and the mountain and everything. And every single moment we are naming something. We name it and we judge it. That's a red car. That's a Cougar. That's a Mercedes-Benz. That lady looks really nice. That guy looks like a pig. That's good. This is that. And all that naming and all that judging and all that stuff is how the mind and self maintains its life. The spiritual practice is to be able to, is the intent is to shut that off. The first stage to shutting it off is becoming aware of it, becoming aware of inner dialogue. That's what the level is of in me right now. So my inner dialogue is stupid and ugly. It's all based in one of the ego games for human beings is dominance or being dominated, dominating or being dominant. So as a young fighter and as a kid that was always pushed aside and ignored, and I grew up real angry, I became a fighter. That's why I was a martial artist. Now I'm almost 70 years old, and it's amazing that I, now that I can see the inner dialogue, it's hilarious. And it's just talking. The nice thing is, if you become aware of it and you look directly at it, it shuts off. So in the meditation, when they tell you to watch, what's the purpose? It's to disidentify. You start to realize, if you can watch the thought, if you have enough consciousness to see it, and you watch it go, and then another one comes, and the other one can be a completely different subject. What happens for a real meditation person, they realize it's not them, and that the thinking is happening by itself. They're not thinking. Those things are happening, and all you're doing is meditating, is witnessing it. So that's one stage. That's a good stage, because 99% of the population, you see, they don't know. They have no clue. But that dialogue is it like a story, and we attach to it. We think it's real. Because we think it's real, it takes us down all kinds of rabbit holes. And we take actions based on that story and that attachment. And sometimes we do really unskillful things or really hurtful things. That earns the karma, creates a resonance. It's a very complex thing. To remove the complexity is to be able to come down to the still center and just witness. That's a big stage. To go beyond that stage to enlightenment, you need the divine. Only the divine will take you there. There is no human system that was ever developed on this earth that has ever created an enlightened person. Everyone, including the Buddha, when Buddha became enlightened under the Bodhi tree, he saw the Jyoti, the great light. It was always like that. Some people think they can do it on their own, and that's fine, but they won't. But yeah. They can think that.
But there has to be a certain amount of resonance there. And like a heart in a resonance in order to be able to connect with that divine.
That's exactly correct. You have to have the intention to seek it with sincerity. And if you do it with sincerity, the divine, you make a bond with the divine. If you make a bond with the divine, it becomes your best friend, because it's actually right there. The divine lives in your heart. It's already there. If you start to request a bond, like I have, I live a life we call Bhakta. So my divine lives right with me here. That's not a fairy tale. That's real, especially in India. Why India? Mostly because the cultural belief system allows it easily. Mm-hmm. See, in India, there's no such thing as a god up there that you worship. There's no division. So in India, the cultural way they're raised, so their subconscious programming, belief systems and everything allows for Lord Ganesha to, you know, sit down and have coffee with you. And they do. They do it all day, every day, all the time. They want to, now the divine is providing soma for the world. So soma means you take a glass of water, there's a prayer ceremony, and from the divine realms, the other realms, not from earth, there is, in India, the water will turn into stuff like honey or milk or turmeric, different sacred powders, and they eat that. And then everything is immediately resolved, whatever they took the soma for, including cancer, gone, done. right away, instantly. Now, people can say, I mean, they're doing that right now. The number one site with the strongest lady outside of India, Taylor, she has a center in San Diego, California. And they've already done a couple of sessions there. A couple of hundred people show up. They bring their water. The water, generally in America, it fills with bubbles. Just fills up with bubble. And they drink that soma, and their life is transformed. Their problems are solved. And the divine is doing that. Why is the divine doing it? Because the world is in big trouble. And it involves all of us. There is no such thing as separation. Humanity is actually one being. So that war, and we created all that. That's the global collective. So the divine is really pouring it on to help us. So they brought soma. And like I say, in India, because the belief system is very easy. So the somas they're getting are exponentially powerful, but it's starting now in Europe, getting more and more potent. I drink soma every single day. All of these kinds of things are happening. And all you have to do is have the intention that you want to experience these things. And you can do it just the same way as I do it.
It comes back to intent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you said something, you said the divine lives in our hearts. Mm-hmm. I was contemplating how humanity gets separated from the divine at birth, or so we think. So we search for it outside of ourselves our whole life, when really it's inside, right? It's right there.
Yeah, we're not apart from the divine ever. If you were, it's impossible to be separated from the divine, because everything is one. So us, the sun, an ant, wood, piece of everything is completely unified. So you can't be separate. Now the people who go over to like demonic forces and stuff, I don't know because I don't study those. I don't know how to answer that. The dark side is very real, and now it's more powerful than ever, unfortunately. It's because it's like Yoda said, when Luke Skywalker says to Yoda in Star Wars, is the dark side stronger? And Yoda says, no, quicker, easier, more seductive.
Right.
That's how they run the pandemic, all of that rubbish.
Yeah.
Which by the way, with depth healing, I can stop COVID that fast. I have, and I always will be able. It's nothing.
No.
But what they do is they terrify everyone, and they've laid down all of the subconscious programs for many, 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 many decades. So all they had to do was initiate it, and then the programs start to play. And that's why you see everybody, they just comply because they're just programmed. It's really a sad thing, but they use to create the morphic field. They use the strata of fear, the frequency or resonance of fear. And the people you and I are talking about with the resonance of love, gratitude, it's completely different. But our morphic field is way, way, way smaller than theirs. They have the money, they have the media, they have the 5G towers, they have everything. Mm-hmm. It's easier.
Yeah.
It's very easy to be in fear. And then all they do is prime the amygdala, and away you go. It's too bad, but that's the way they are.
Put you into a reptilian state.
That's right.
Well, it's one of the reasons I feel it's really important today for people to even realize that they are programmed, first of all. And then what that programming does inside the mind and how it creates our reality. Just to get that is a big step.
That's big. You're so correct. You cannot, nobody is going to heal or change anything that they're not aware of.
Yeah.
You got to become aware, folks. And then what Jane is saying to you, it's like one of my favorite business mentors is Jim Rohn. And he'll say, you have to be the policeman at the gateway to your mind. Why am I the man I am now? One of the reasons is, it's a very big reason, never in my entire life have I read a newspaper or watched the news ever, or have anything, none of the normal ways of programming a human being I ever was exposed to. I only studied under great, great, great masters, real masters, my whole life. By the time I was three, I already knew what I was supposed to do. And then it just was a matter of unfolding. And to become a doc, I had to go through an enormous, many, many, many decades of lots of suffering, every kind, so that I have the empathy to understand people and how they're suffering. And I've worked labor, and I lived in poverty. I lived off the grid for 11 years, all these different things, so that I can help people, right?
I think it's so important that we experience the pain in order to evolve beyond it, but to help, right? You have to have it's that training. So it's a gift.
It is a gift. It doesn't feel like a gift at the time. So what I wanted to, I remember what I was trying to say. So what Jane says is to become aware that your program, what they do, it's the way we're designed and the way the subconscious is made and the way the brain works. So you have, if you understand that, just know that the media, regular media and all it's all been commandeered. So what you have to do is be, if you don't want to have any more negative programming, you have to be very selective and listen to like programs like Jane and select very, very carefully. Don't trust regular media. All that stuff's been all bought out. Even in the healthcare industry now, you can, Jane probably knows, if you go onto Google to search old home remedies and stuff, they have bastardized all of the information against real healing and healers, so that you only go to pharmacology. So what they do is they're doing what we call cognitive warfare, folks. Like now all the boys want to become girls and they're getting sex changed. All they did was they're programming the society and destroying all the morals and all the values and everything that keeps society together. Destroy everything. And they use cognitive warfare. So what's an example of cognitive warfare? Now what you do, you go on Facebook or Twitter and you'll see some beautiful spiritual quote, and it's housed in a visual of satanic demonic scene. So they're creating, it's called cognitive warfare. If you want to see it, you Google cognitive warfare. And you see what they do. And then, like, I'm a master of frequencies. That's how I do what I do. Well, they are too. I use quantum physics and light. I do all kinds of things with my own carrier waves through consciousness. But they use the 5G tower. Now, so what Jane is saying is to recognize that we are very programmable, and that you are programmed, then you can start to remove it. People like me, you want to get rid of some program, that's all I do. I do it 24 every day of the week, and I can really do it. When I say it's gone, it's gone, relative to whatever we're looking at. But the first stage is what she just said. You got to become aware of it and understand it first. because we're living in a world now, folks. It's a sci-fi movie, but it's real. It's real. It's happening. It's here and it's now. Make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, we've now been captured by internet media, right? We're so easily manipulated that you have to be aware.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dr. G. Can you tell people how they find you if they want to have a session with you? And
yeah,
a little more.
It's real. I make it real, real simple, folks, because anything that's real simple can last, and anything that's too complex, it's easy to break. So all you do is I have my website that my admin Johnny, he makes it for me. It's called depthhealing.org. So it's just one word, all small letters, depthhealing.org, not .com. And you can get a hold of me right there. Every month at the full moon, I do a free service, my service to the divine for you. Everyone's welcome. It takes about 30 minutes and it's a collective diksha. And that service there, you take whatever you want the divine to give you or do for you or for someone. And I want you to write it out as a thank you letter to the divine that it's a fact now. And then you bring that letter with you to that event. I do it on, it would be 8 a.m. Thailand time, wherever you are in the world. 8 a.m. Thailand time. And so in America, that's usually their evening before. And then the divine will bless you. I channel it through me to you. Diksha is a blessing that's been studied by functional brain scans at the University of Pennsylvania many, many years ago when Diksha was very weak. Now it's very strong. And what it does is it lights up your prefrontal cortex, especially the left side. And it starts through neuroplasticity to disassemble areas in the parietal lobes, the sides of your head, that are responsible for fear, worry, anxiety, and anger. Okay. So those, they just start to go away. Now, one Diksha way back then will continue working in your brain for up to 6 months. Now, Diksha is enormously powerful. So that's there. And we announce it on the website. And then you hook up with me for privates and I'll take care of it. I don't care what your issue is. We can always address it because I'm working in the causal level. I'm not restricted by physical problems or none of that. I bypass all that. So you can, there's lots of testimonials on there from big business people to anything. And then the biggest thing that I bring to the table is I can handle morphic fields. So if I have a collective of 20 people, or if I have a collective of 6,000 people, I can form a cloud of all of them together, and in their subconscious, the cloud, the collective, I can do surgery and change the entire group at one time, in real time, relative to the question. So for instance, let's say I have 6,000 people and we want to clear them for fear of failure. So morphic fields are a feed forward, feed backward system. So I work directly in the collective field. So like I would work in the Google Cloud, remove negative information there, and that feeds back to the computers that are linked to the cloud. So the 6,000, whenever there's a collective, there's an emergent property, an emergent consciousness that is created. That's why termites can make architectural masterpieces because there's millions of them, which makes a super consciousness. If you just take a few termites and put them on the ground, they don't know how to do anything. But when they're all together, they create a morphic field. And that field is a super consciousness. Your whole body is made out of many, many, many super consciousness of each organ. So the super consciousness of all the cells that makes your liver. Another one makes your heart. Another one makes your large intestine. And then all of those civilizations go up, and then they also make, they have their own super consciousness. They all together combine to make a super consciousness for the body temple. And then you are a consciousness that uses the body temple as an avatar so that you can interact with this world. The body doesn't belong to us. It's its own world. And then it's our friend, and we operate so we can experience the world and feed information to our actual self, which is one with the divine, and back forward and backward. I hope I didn't lose anybody there. It's sort of complex, but it's really cool when you start to understand all of that. So you just get a hold of me through the website. I'm on Instagram. Look for Depth Healing Instagram. I do all kinds of little videos there and explain things. On my website, there are I've done some videos and some writings so people can understand things from a morphic field perspective. So by all means, check it out. And if you need me, you call me and I'll take care of you.
I can only imagine, as many people move into this kind of thinking and consciousness, how it will change the planet. So it's a very real need. And what you're doing is so beautiful, Dr. G. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Jane. I really appreciate it.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There's one thing for certain. Meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my Linktree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.